Welcome to today's episode of the Fit to Lead podcast. I am very excited to welcome today Zach Lloyd, who is a sustainable anti-diet coach. Anti-diet is music to my ears. He gives credit to God's grace, basketball, and heavy weights in saving him from nearly losing his life to drug abuse. He's been coaching for over a decade, building skill sets in every area associated with physical and mental fitness. He's driven to help others find meaning and fulfillment in suffering through fitness. So I love this bio. Zach, welcome to the Fit to Lead podcast.
Thank you, Allison. I'm super excited to be here.
I am super excited to have you. As we were saying before we hopped on, we're very kindred spirits. So I love the sustainability. I love the anti-diet. So I would love to kick things off by having you share a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, for sure. The quick and dirty of it is I was a late teen, early 20s, just total dirtbag, completely selfish. I mean, I just living in darkness essentially, and it was all about me. And that's how I kind of fell into drug abuse, and then I got addicted to Oxycontin. I came really close to taking my life at one point. And long story short, just a little bit of an athletic background, but never really took it too seriously. And during just a kind of a crazy time of just like, I needed an outlet. I had a friend that worked out. He's like, hey, let's get back in the gym together. And it was really just about like going and like getting some attention from the ladies. You know, that's what it was really about. I mean, if we're being honest.
Yeah, why not?
And hey, it worked a little bit, you know? So that was a self-reinforcing thing. And then what I started to realize is like, okay, I'm not just getting attention from women, but I'm also getting attention from men. And then all of a sudden it was like, wait a second, people respect me more now, which I thought was wild. And then I started respecting myself more because other people respected me more. And then all of a sudden it was this mental shift that I didn't realize I was doing, which that's one reason I'm just so obsessed with strength training and probably never will, you know, stop, is the fact that I started rewiring my brain without even realizing it. And that was just such a blessing. And ultimately, that was a huge catalyst for pulling me out of that. And one thing led to another. And it's like, hey, Zach, what are you doing? Like, you've like completely transformed in the last year. And then all of a sudden, it's like, okay, now I'm personal training and now I'm coaching. And that's kind of really where it all just kicked off.
I love it. I love that you found like your purpose through pain, right? It's when we hit rock bottom and you find that spark that kind of turns you around. And it's funny that you talk about weight training like that, because I'm a retired, you know, figure competitor. And I feel like one, weight training is the fountain of youth, right? You don't get toned, you build muscle. But yeah. I feel like weight training is very much like yoga. So like the way you push yourself in the gym and get stronger and lift more, I feel like it's so much like yoga in like a mind over body type of thing.
Oh yeah, 100%. I'm totally with you on that. And I think it's like, I have like some clients that are like full on yogis, and then they're like, they get to this age and they're like, I need a little more strength training in my regimen. And then they like, they kind of come over to this side of the equation. They're like, wait a second, there's validity in both. And it's more that holistic approach. And it's not like, you know, they got the whole strength training gets that bad meathead mentality of like, oh, we're just going to go all the way and we're going to throw weights around and be monkeys in the gym. And it's like, wait a second. No, there's actually like this Zen state to it as well, that a lot of people connect with in yoga, but you can do the same with strength training. I totally agree.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And I think especially as we get older, the mobility, the injury prevention, it's funny. I just took an aerial yoga class and I was like, it made me feel like so weak. Like I was like, it's like, I don't even lift. I'm like trying to pull myself up. And so, yeah. So we could talk about weight training all day long, but I would love, you know, you've coined the term sustainable anti-diet coach. So I would love for you to dig into that a little bit more. What does that mean? Why are you so passionate about it?
Yeah. So like, I would say, you know, I've been coaching for long over a decade now. And the first like 5 years was this state of, okay, I'm doing this, I'm getting great results. So I'm going to treat my clients the same. And ultimately what happened was I started realizing that people would get results in 3 months or 6 months or whatever, but 9 times out of 10, they would not sustain the results. And then they'd be back knocking on my door for more help. And it boggled my mind. I was like, wait, what am I doing wrong here? So then I really dug more deeply into behavior change, how habits are formed. And ultimately I was like, I didn't actually compete like you did, but I trained to be a physique competitor and I had some friends that did it and I came really close and I got down to, you know, like 6% body fat and all that stuff. Right. And what I realized was, okay, wait a second. We're all confusing what a sport is versus what the average person should be kind of thinking about. Right. And then it's like, yes, everybody wants to be whatever their favorite movie star physique is. And it's like, well, that's not realistic either, because they did 6 months of crazy training just like a bodybuilder was. And ultimately, yeah, that movie star is just, that's their sport, if you will. Right. And so it really bothered me that people weren't getting sustainable results and they weren't learning the skills. It was like they were kind of using the training or using these modalities of nutrition and like cutting calories and yada, yada, yada. And none of that's bad inherently, but it wasn't getting them something that they could take with them for the rest of their life. And they're like, hey, when I check in with you in 5, 10, 15, 30 years from now, like, did you actually learn some skills and then keep those going? And then, hey, you're actually like healthy and fit for the rest of your life. And we know it's not like this like perfect line. It's this ebb and flow.
Yeah.
It's this like you're turning the thermometer up sometimes and you're turning it down other times, right? But ultimately you're well, healthy and fit, right? And so that's where that sustainable thing came in. I was like, I can't continue coaching and feel, I mean, really like morally and ethically good about myself, mm-hmm, if I'm not making it sustainable. And then the anti-diet thing, that was one of those things where I still believe in diets, right? Because they work, but it's like, it goes back to the sport analogy. Why are we dieting? And 9 out of 10 clients, right? Like maybe the occasional clients like, hey, I got to get super fit because I got a wedding in 3 or 6 months. Right. And I'm like, okay, hey, we can do some things and we can get you there, but it's not going to be sustainable. And you need to realize that. Right. And so I'm really anti-diet with most of my coaching and I don't coach a lot of bodybuilders anymore. So it's mainly middle-aged men and women. And so that's where sustainable anti-diet coach comes from, is we're not going to use a diet to get you where you want to go. We're going to think in the long run. And I just love the financial piece, is if people think about finances, everybody that's been successful in their finances will tell you the short-term thinking is what's going to ruin your finances. The long-term thinking is what's going to make you wealthy and rich in the long run, right? And it's the same thing with our bodies and our mental fitness, right?
Yes, it's like compound interest. I mean,
yes, 100%.
It's so funny because I totally agree with you. And I think we are all trained to almost, at least for women, and maybe some men, to be constantly like in diet mode. Like you're constantly looking to lose weight. It's at 5 or 10 pounds. And I feel like you get to a point in your life where you really need to say, is this juice worth the squeeze? Like, you really need to make like significant and sometimes, you know, changes that are not fun and are not, again, sustainable to get it to a certain, it's like, is it really in the long run worth it? Right. Unless you're getting on stage, unless you're, you know, the celebrity.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that so much. And it's a hard lesson to learn and not always easy to come to terms with, hey, you're getting older. Hey, the weight is, you know, what your weight was in college is not going to be your weight now at 40 or 50.
Yeah. And as professionals, like we really need to hit that hard on the head, because it's like we struggle in the same exact ways. Right. And like I said, that thermostat, it's, you know, I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old now. And it's like, I don't work out as much as I used to. And I love to work out, but my priorities changed a little bit. And I'm struggling with it, but I'm really happy with it, because I'm consciously choosing to be a better husband and a better father over saying, oh, look, like I'm in a magazine cover, look at me. Right. And that was a hard mental shift for me to make. Right. And again, after maybe the kids go to school a little more, they grow up a little more, and then I can get back in the gym because I actually enjoy it. Right. And then maybe I will get that little extra physique that I enjoy to do. But ultimately, that's turning up that thermostat again, and I'm gonna have to pay the price somewhere. So yeah, I love that you said that. That's so true.
Yes, yes. And it's funny too that, and I used to be this way, very rigid about, I have to work out first thing in the morning. It has to be an hour. And now it's like, I've gotten to the point where I'm like, does my workout fit what I need right now. Maybe it's a walk, maybe it's yoga, maybe it's weight training, maybe it's I'm all into pickleball now. You know what I mean? It's like just getting the joy to your point. Like I would love to just work out all day, every day, but it's like, am I showing up for my family and for myself and all
Right.
that good stuff? So yeah, I am with you. I feel like everyone needs to kind of get rid of the rules and really just be much more intuitive with what feels good, and that you're training for life. You're training for like long term, not being injured, mobility, lifting up grandkids when you're 80, you know, like that's what we're working towards.
Right. 100%.
I love it. So on that point, what for you like is a daily non-negotiable in your self-care and wellness routine?
Yeah. So, like we're talking about, I can't get the 1 or 2 hour workouts in anymore. So, movement is definitely the core piece, right? And I try to focus on movement more than anything because movement checks the box. But ultimately, I think that's kind of like the obvious answer. So, really, my non-negotiable starts in the morning and it's prayer. It's just straight up prayer. It's like, hey, God, I don't want to make this day all about me. I feel like I'm here to serve. And I know that my life is more fruitful when I serve. And starting there, that sets me up. So, that's really my non-negotiable.
I love that so much. And it's funny because I'm actually at a point in my business where I had a bunch of stuff happen in the past few weeks that I'm sort of pivoting to spiritual wellness. So how does, you know what I mean? Like nutrition plays a role, movement plays a role, but your relationship with yourself and your relationship with the universe, spirit, God, whatever you want to call it, is so foundational and important to people's health. It's just like, how have we not operated this way all our lives, right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And it's kind of like how I got on the sustainability piece. It's like once you start, you get to a place and you're like, there's more here, and there's more here, and there's more here. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait, there's even more here. And then it's like, why am I doing what I'm doing? I mean, that question alone, if you really sit with that and journal about it and think about it, it's like, okay, wait, am I just doing all this to impress other people? How silly is that?
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Yes. We are like singing the same tune. But so going back to our clients and kind of the trials and tribulations that they go through and stress and all the things. I know we talked about before we popped on binge eating and how for clients that is a huge issue that people have as a way to compensate for things going on, for stress, for different emotions. What tips can you and strategies can you share around binge eating?
Yeah, and I'll just say too, like cautionary tale, if somebody is diagnosed with binge eating disorder, then these things would probably not apply, and to really just consult a doctor in that situation. And overwhelmingly, the whole thing is just complicated because I've struggled with emotional stress eating, however, whatever we want to call it, for a very long time. And that's really where people need to see it is like, okay, stepping back and saying, what really is going on here? But ultimately, one of the biggest things that I find to be a huge, well, it's really just something that I always hit on with every single client because every single client ends up needing it. And it's this idea of in our Western culture, we're just so reactive and we're always on the move and we're always busy. So the superpower is really attention and focus. And if we can bring a little attention and focus to our eating, then this binge eating, stress eating, emotional eating, what really happens is we don't even realize we're doing it most of the time. And then after the fact, it's like, oh gosh. And then you feel terrible about yourself. And then the cycle repeats, right? So one of the best things that I recommend people start with is first planning to do it and letting it happen. So like if you're like routine somewhere in your day when you're super stressed, I just worked with a client yesterday. They come home from a 12-hour nursing shift and they eat dinner. And then it's like, it's emotional stress eating time because they got to feel those, they got to do something with those emotions, right? And so planning on that, she was able to say, okay, 7 o'clock at night tonight after work, I'm ready. And what she did was she planned on doing it. We got out the Oreos, right? And I like, don't get out a couple Oreos, don't ration it out, get out the whole freaking box and bring attention and focus to that moment. And then just see what happens. And for some people, it's like, uncontrollable emotions. And then it's, okay, what emotions are those? Is it fear? Is it, you know, self-loathing? Is it shame? What's really going on there? And then once you can actually decide and decide what emotion is taking place, then you can step back and address that, right? Mm-hmm. Versus, well, I'm just really stressed out and like my emotions are here and they're like, that's just really broad. And bringing that focus and attention can really start to make an impact. And then what people notice usually, whether like, for me, it's the ice cream. It's like, get a big old thing of ice cream and like, okay, if I actually bring attention and focus, I might have, you know, a reasonable amount. And then all of a sudden, wait a second, I'm full. I don't need to eat anymore. And so with the Oreos situation, it's just like so visually perfect. It's like she had one or two and then she thought about it. She's like, oh, I'm just really overwhelmed because work was a long day. And instead of pushing that emotion to the side, she just sat with it and it was uncomfortable. And none of us want that uncomfortable feeling in our lives. So instead we eat more Oreos. But she allowed it to come through. It passed through her. She acknowledged it. And then she only ate three Oreos instead of two racks. Right?
I love it.
That would be the biggest thing I would say for people to start with, for sure.
I love it. And it's funny because I don't think people realize the power of mindfulness. And it's funny, I always tell people, like, don't eat distracted. Like, no matter what you're eating, no matter what meal you're eating. And it's so hard. Yes. Like, if you're eating with your family, focus on your family. No TV, no phone, no book, like, no work. Yeah. And people just do that. It's just a reflex. I mean, I do it. Like, I'll just work. Yeah. And then you're like, don't realize what you ate. And then your brain's like, I'm not full. I'm still hungry. I don't remember eating that.
Right. Yeah. An embarrassing moment the other day. It was like last week. I literally had an AirPod in one ear listening to a podcast. I had my kids running around. I had the TV on. And then I was trying to read an email at the same time. And then as I realized what I was doing, I was like, what if I doing with my life right now? So
people, like, I am dominating multitasking. Yes, I'm dominating.
Yeah.
I love it. So on the topic of, you know, sustainability, anti-diet, any recent or favorite books or podcasts you could recommend?
Yeah. I would say, well, it's actually funny because I know that you're certified through Precision Nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have some of the best free content out there. And their big thing is, you know, certifications, and then they have coaching as well. But just any of their articles, I think, are life-changing for some people. And all of my coaching, there's never a time where I don't not send a Precision Nutrition article to somebody. So precisionnutrition.com, that's where I would start.
Yeah.
And they're going to bring more of that holistic, mindful approach, but also say, hey, we're not going to bring in like the woo-woo. We're like, it's just emotions and like, just keep eating and whatever. And just, we'll deal with that later. It's like, no, like, let's actually set some goals here and make some progress. And I think that's super valuable.
Oh my gosh. Love Precision Nutrition, and a huge fan of their infographics. Like, I know when people about wellness, I am always using, like, you know, they have the hand and, you know, how much, yes, food, you know, portion control, yes, and they're just a wealth. So yeah, no, that is a great one for sure. And then the last question that always is a zinger for everyone, what is your favorite life hack?
Yeah, my favorite life hack. Oh, that's always a tough one because there's several different things that come to mind right away. But I would say, you know, it's really recovery. And for a lot of people that looks very different, right? And like, we're talking about mindfulness in itself can be recovery. For some people, it's getting enough sleep. And for other people, it's getting just like 30 minutes or an hour to themselves. I have some clients that they pour in so much to their families, their kids, their friends, their work. They don't have any time for themselves. And that becomes one of their first goals. It's like, okay, 30 minutes, schedule it, and then do something for yourself so you can fill your cup back up. And I just kind of throw all that into this recovery bucket. And yeah, I think if we can come to that place, then like I said, we'll most likely be a lot less reactive and we'll bring more focus and attention to our lives. And then we'll probably make better decisions.
I love that. And I always say, like, recovery should be a part of your workout plan. Like, everyone's so focused on what's the workout, but it's like, they always forget that piece of the puzzle. So I think that is a great life hack for sure. Because when you are, it's like plugging in your phone, like, to charge it, right? It's like, we plug in our phones to get the battery level up. It's like, we need to do the same thing for ourselves. So I love that one for sure.
Definitely, 100%. I totally agree with you.
So as we wrap up, I would love for you to share where everyone can connect with you. If you have, you know, coaching or tips, tricks, resources, share it all, and I will include it in the show notes.
Fantastic. Yeah. ZachLloydCoaching.com, two L's for Lloyd. And then same thing on YouTube and Instagram. Those are kind of my two places I like to hang out. And then I'll also send you, Allison, a little freebie for the audience. It's called an end calorie counting toolkit. And it just goes over like how you can end calorie counting if you want to. And it's not the only way that you have to lose weight. And what I find, again, it's more sustainable. And then it also brings out a lot of that stress when you're like trying to count food. Because I love to remind people, no matter if you're reading a label of beans, like it could be 10 to 20% off. Mm-hmm. So it's never going to be perfect. And I think that that restriction and that perfection mentality is not helpful for us in the long run to be sustainable.
I love that. I can't wait to check that out myself.
Fantastic. Zach,
thank you so much for joining me today. It was such a pleasure to learn more about you.
Thank you, Allison.